Hear God's word. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, we come to the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." In our study of the book of Exodus, we have kind of taken a slower pace by going through each of the commandments. And today we want to look at what this commandment is all about, especially in the light of what we have read in Scripture about King Ahab earlier. We read that, but also about Zacchaeus. And what I would like to suggest to you is that there are three principles that are found in the commandment. Let me just give you those principles. It is, first of all, stewardship, contentment, and benevolence. Now, how do you get that from "Thou shalt not steal"? Well, let's begin with stewardship. The eighth commandment implies stewardship. And what is stewardship? Well, stewardship is the fact that, well, first of all, God owns it all. He is the ultimate owner of all things. In fact, in the book of Haggai, the scripture says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." In Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." He owns it all, but he has given us things that he has given us in a stewardship of things. He has given us dominion over these things, over these possessions. And that's what Scripture teaches as well. God has given us dominion over the earth. Man was created for dominion. But his basic urge is not only for dominion. Since the fall, his basic urge is a perverted urge, a sinful urge to destroy what God has intended man to have. So we have a right to these things. God has given us these things. But the problem that we have is that because of our sinful hearts, we want to destroy what God has given us. We don't want God to be the owner of it. We want it all. And that's the problem that we find in the story of Zacchaeus and in the story of Ahab as well. Ahab, of course, very much the example of the sinner who wanted something, and he very sadly demonstrated how childlike and sinful he was by pouting. You know, you get the picture of Dennis the Menace in mind, don't you? He's pouting. He's not happy. What did he want? He wanted something that God had given to Naboth the Jezreelite. He wanted the vineyard, and he wanted it for a vegetable garden. Did you notice? Because it was right next door. He wanted it. You know, does your next door neighbor have something that you look at and you want it? Well, we probably wouldn't say that's the case, but it could happen. Ahab is the story of a person who hated someone else because of what that someone else had. And Naboth had something that Ahab wanted. And Ahab was angry. He was mad. He was out of his mind because he couldn't have what God had given to Naboth. And the problem with that is that he demonstrates that he is not operating according to the principle of God's word, of stewardship, of the fact that God has given us certain things for his glory. God has given us things so that we might use them for the glory of God, not for our glory. We are given these things to use them, and one day we will be giving an account to God for how we manage those things that he has given us to control. And the question is going to be raised, who did you follow, and what did you use these things for? Was it for God's glory, or was it for yourself? The unbeliever lives for himself. The believer lives for Christ and for his glory. And that's why man's only hope is salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Salvation is the restoration of the image of God, and that image in which we are to exercise and to subdue this earth and have dominion over it and live for the glory of God. But because we don't do that naturally, it is supernatural grace that changes and transforms us and makes us able to serve the Lord and to live for his glory. We need to see things in terms of stewardship in that realm. We are to live for the glory of God, and we can only do that and be honoring the Lord by submission to his word. The second principle that the commandment, thou shalt not steal, the second principle that's involved in it is the principle of contentment. And I underscore that because in the story of Ahab, that's what Ahab's problem was. He just wasn't content. And that's why I think of him as an evil Dennis the Menace. And I see a lot of Dennis the Menace things. They come up on my Facebook page for some reason. You get a little Dennis the Menace cartoon. And have you ever seen, you know, these angry faces and these mad faces? Well, think of Dennis the Menace in an angry mode. Ahab was angry. He hated Naboth. And he went to his room and he sulked. He was vexed. He refused to eat. He was mad, so mad that his wife comes to him and says, basically, what's your problem? You're the king over Israel. Shake it loose. You've got this. I'll take care of it. And she did. Through her evil ways, she took his royal stamp, wrote a letter, stamped the letter, said in the letter, this is what I want you to do. Put Naboth in this place. Have false witnesses come and accuse him of something that requires death, and then go out and execute him. I mean, it was very blatant, very sinful. But she does this because Ahab was not content. Not content with what God had ordained for him. He was the king. He had everything. He probably had the biggest garden of all, but he wanted Naboth's garden. He had all of the things that he could possibly have wanted, except he wanted something that God had given to someone else. He had a desire in his heart for something that God had forbidden, and that's what caused the sin of breaking this commandment, the lack of contentment. Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Philippians, I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. He learned contentment, a contentment that arose in his heart because of a love for God. And a contentment arises in your heart and in my heart because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's rooted in a law of love for God. It's rooted in the work of the Holy Spirit that transforms us, that changes us, and it turns us away from discontent. And theft is discontent. In fact, there are several ways to get things. You can get something by a gift. We see that a lot at Christmas. You can get things by work. Some of us have worked and we saved our money, and you go to the store and you buy whatever it is. Why? Because you worked for it. But there's another way to get things, and that's by theft. This commandment forbids theft. The honest way of getting things is the way that God wants us to live. Deceitful ways of getting things are forbidden by this commandment. Fraud is forbidden. Truth and advertising is covered by this commandment. Oh, wouldn't you like it if that was applied to the television programs and to the advertisements that we get? Theft is forbidden. There's a scripture that says, "The wicked borrows and payeth not again." I always wanted to get a rubber stamp so that I could stamp that in books that I would lend to somebody, because I would always lend books. You know, someone would say, "Do you have a commentary on this?" Of course, I've got 50 commentaries on that. "Would you like to borrow?" "You could borrow it, but make sure you bring it back." And every once in a while, I would simply say, "Here's my commentary. You're welcome to have it and use it. But remember, the Bible says the wicked borrows and payeth not again." In other words, I'd like it back. Okay. This commandment forbids theft. It forbids dishonest grabbing, theft of time, theft of value for money. In other words, the false weights. You know, you're reading through the books of Leviticus and Numbers, and it talks about weights, and they're supposed to be a certain kind of weight, because God doesn't want false weights. He wants honesty. He doesn't want unpaid debts. He doesn't want a stolen reputation. All of these things are theft. And Ahab, which we read about earlier, was not content with his fields. He coveted Naboth's vineyard. And the root from which theft proceeds is discontent with the portion that God has allotted. And then comes covetousness. I don't like what God has given me. I want more. I want something else. I want what my next door neighbor or the guy down the street has, especially if he's driving a 57 Chevy or whatever. Everybody has something that can be coveted because God has bestowed it upon someone else. And theft is a violation of the law of God. Theft is wrong not only because it's a civil offense, but it's wrong because in its deepest sense, it undermines God's law of love. Honesty, respect for God-given property rights of our neighbor, promoting our neighbor and our fellow men is a way of life for the kingdom of God here and now. We are to live according to the law of love. Therefore, any attempt to steal, any attempt to do what God has forbidden, like Ahab and so on, are assaults upon God, because he is the owner of all. The third principle I'd like to suggest is found in connection with the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." The third principle is benevolence. And I take that especially from the story of Zacchaeus. Remember in the story of Zacchaeus that God called him down from the tree. He said, "I'm going to go to your house today." And in fact, he commands him. It's a command. It's an imperative. "Come down, for I must come to your house today." And he goes to his house. I find it interesting reading through it again that the people grumble and complain. There he is again, going off to meet with another sinner. But he goes to meet with Zacchaeus. And in that meeting with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus demonstrates the grace of benevolent giving. He says, if I've taken anything, I will restore it fourfold. Now, that's not in the law of God. It is for one instance of stealing one thing, but not for all things. Fourfold. Now, here was a guy who was a top IRS agent, exceedingly rich, and he could certainly afford to give. But he said, I'm going to give fourfold. That's the grace of benevolent giving. That doesn't come with anything less than the call of God in your life that transforms you and makes you new in Jesus Christ. It comes through repentance. It comes through the grace of God that transforms the heart. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone changes you from being a thief to someone who is benevolent, from changing you from someone who steals to someone who gives. And Zacchaeus was a giver. I often think of the story that one of my favorite authors speaks of in his book, Knowing God, J.I. Packer. If you haven't read the book, you should. I've read it many times. I encourage you to read it. J.I. Packer, Knowing God. He says in his book, the Bible calls for restitution. Repent means to change. Zacchaeus repented. Then Dr. Packer says in his book, in the Belfast Revival in 1922, 1923, converted shipyard workers brought back tools and equipment which they had knocked off as in such quantities that in one place they had to build an additional storehouse that had to be provided for them. That showed the spiritual reality of the change in their hearts. Is that reality in us? He asks. Have we changed? Have we transformed? Are we like Zacchaeus? To give back plus over what was stolen. We are to give with generosity, just as we excel in everything by faith in all that we do. We are to be generous. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Think with me in historical facts to the life of someone like Chuck Colson. He worked for President Nixon, and you remember that he was a part of that burglary that got Nixon into so much trouble. And Chuck Colson went to prison, but he went from being a burglar to a benefactor. He became involved in prison ministry for the rest of his life. That's the change, that's the transformation that occurs by the power of God. It brings us to become benevolent, and we should be generous with our benevolence. Let me give you a few suggested helps to aid us in avoiding the sin and avoiding the problems that are inculcated by this eighth commandment. First of all, be honest in your labor. People who are most tempted to mischief are those that are not honest workers. Honest in what you do. Strive against the spirit of selfishness by seeking the welfare of others. Counter the lust of covetousness by giving liberally to those who are in need. And cultivate the grace of contentment. Remember Paul, I've learned in whatever state I am. And he didn't mean Indiana or Illinois. He meant wherever he was, I am content. When we are like that, we are going to be like Zacchaeus. We are going to see the change of life that takes place. Here was a man who had a fortune, and from that fortune, he was transformed to be a benevolent benefactor. And the reason he became such was because he trusted in the crucified Christ. He was transformed by the grace of the Savior who died for his sins. And if we have been transformed by grace, we can be content and we can be ministers to others of the grace of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to do that. May he help us to keep this commandment and to glorify him. Amen.